From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of December 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will join us from Windsor, Illinois, to discuss the cash grain market. He's at agmarket.net. And we'll take up the weather forecast along the way with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Right now there, you'll be able to find a link to this week's IFAS, or Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Once you get yourself registered, you'll be good to go for all five of the webinars. One of them is passed, but you can catch up with that on the website at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, March corn today at $4.26.5, up 2.75. The May there, $4.28.75, up 2.25. And December corn of next year at $4.10.75, 2.75 on its settlement price higher. Soybeans, January contract at $11.68.25, up 15.25. The March at $11.70.25, 15.5 higher. And November beans of next year at $10.40.25, up 8.75. A bean meal futures at $3.90, $4.40 higher. The bean oil for the day at $37.73, up 81 cents. Wheat futures soft red, March contract at $5.84.5, 4 cents lower on the day, and the hard red in the December at $5.45, down 5.5 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby December at $109.60, down $1.10. The February live cattle at $112.57.5, down $1.35. Feeder cattle for the day at $139.80, $2 lower. And the January, the March at $139.32.5, down $1.65. Lean hogs, December contract, $66.25, down $32.5. And February futures, 95 cents lower at $66.92.5. Crude oil for the day finished the nearby contract at $45.69, or trading about that, around 41 cents higher for the day. Diesel fuel, or heating oil, at $1.39.4 is 2.7 cents higher. And gasoline on the RBOB at $1.26.1 is up 2.2 cents. Natural gas at $2.54, that's down 24 cents on the day. A quick look at the gold futures for the afternoon. They're trading the nearby at $1,843.10. That's up $12.90. Dan Zwicker is here now. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
What do you see in the marketplace today?
Basically, I think you have to view it as a correctional short covering rally from the break that we had here over the past 2 to 3 days. We did have a little break first part of the week. The market did find technical support, and then we did get some good fundamental news. I guess they're still worried about the South American soybean crop. We did see one firm bring down the Brazilian crop a little bit. Argentina still needs some rain. Corn is still, I think, short crops get shorter type scenario. Got good demand underneath the corn market. So the overall trend remains higher. So when you're in a situation like that, the trend is your friend. So technical traders will continue to buy the breaks until the trend breaks. Now, the thing that we need to probably be careful for is this is a recovery. Now, we need to go ahead and kind of punch out those highs we made late last week to keep the trend solidly higher. If we go up there and we begin to fail and the market begins to liquidate and falls back, then we would be in for probably a little deeper correction, maybe going into the middle part of December. But we'll have to see how today's strong performance shows any follow-through here and finishes out the week, whether or not we can pull out a higher weekly finish, or if we still close higher, or I mean close lower, because we did close on the highs last week. We started down here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now the question is, can we come back and close higher for the week? Now, just looking here at the cash market here, with today's advance in corn, my guess is that we're in new Central Illinois cash highs, because even with the market declining, the cash market has an improving basis of Central Illinois cash market. So we're still kind of in that uptrend. Now, this wide broadband period that I was talking about for a major top being placed, if you want to extend it out, the second variance factor on that takes you all the way into maybe January 13th. So if this is the case, if we would happen to kind of go into January 13th, that would be awfully close, I think, to the January crop report, if it's not the crop report. And I thought for some time that this market was acting like the 1993 market, the 93-94 market. 93, of course, was the flood year in the Western Corn Belt. And we were wet here in the Eastern Corn Belt too, but we really didn't know what the yields were until we got into the fields. And when we got into the fields, we found out that the yields were way low, and that was the year we found out that rain doesn't necessarily make grain. And even though we're not technically a short crop, I think we're a short crop compared to what the trade was thinking we were going to have beginning January 1st of the calendar year. And what made it a short crop was what really kicked it off is USDA's September 30th stocks report, when they had to come in and bring down the stocks number. All of a sudden, that changed the balance sheet in corn, 300 million bushels less corn than what we thought. And then that hot and dry August really took the edge off of a lot of corn and soybean yields, especially the corn on corn yields really came down. And then we started seeing USDA reflect that in crop reports. And each crop report now has, the crop has gotten a little smaller. So from what the trade was thinking we were going to have starting the calendar year back in January and February, and then all of the bearishness during the COVID-19 deal in the spring, and then everything started turning into a short crop when the dry August hit, started pulling down corn and bean yields. We had the wind damage in Iowa. And then USDA kind of capped it off, kind of put the icing on the cake when they came in and said, oh, we don't have as many bushels of corn around or as many bushels of beans around than what we thought. So that caught the end user short. He was expecting, he was looking at balance sheets, and this is why I'm a technician, is balance sheets, by the time you figure them out, it's too late. And the balance sheets were telling all of the end users, whether they were exporters or whether they were feedlot owners or whether they were ethanol producers, the balance sheet says, oh, don't worry, we got plenty of supply, plenty of supply. But what really put the icing on the cake is when USDA pulled the rug out from underneath them and said, we got 300 million bushels less corn around than what we thought. And then we got in the fields and we found out that the yields weren't there. So in 1993-94, we were in that short crop scenario. Each crop report, the yield kept coming down, down, down. And then in the January final, on January 1994, I think USDA finished their downward lowering, or they just maybe made minor changes. I kind of forget. But that was the top of the old crop market at that point. And old crop futures and new crop futures both then continued to go lower into the spring, and then we got ourselves into kind of a dry spring. So new crop months started gaining traction during the month of May and extended themselves into June on hot and dry weather. And I remember that day so perfectly. It was going into the first day of summer, and it was the day that O.J. Simpson was driving around Los Angeles in his white Bronco, and that is when the corn and bean market topped. And the reason why I remember 93 and 94 so well is that was the year that I sold half of the new crop corn and beans on that January report. This is the 94 crop. And then I sold the second half on the June rally, and that was the year I got ranked number one in Top Producer Magazine. So I think everybody has to just, take one day at a time in here and be awful careful around that January crop report, because that January crop report will be the final nail in the coffin for the 2020 crop. And then all the emphasis then will be to look forward toward the 21 crop. And by then we'll be in the middle of South America and we'll have a little better idea there.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenora now joins us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Hope you and your family had a good Thanksgiving holiday.
We certainly did. Hopefully you did as well.
They've heard the story. It was all right. But we'll gather up at some point in the future, I know. It wasn't bad, just didn't manage to get together, and that's perfectly fine in these kind of COVID-19 times. Hey, let's start in South America. We might, in fact, just stay in South America. Can you begin in Brazil for me, please?
Well, Brazil has a drought that's been in progress for a while. If you look at their soybean production as of 2 days ago, only about 1% to 2% of soybean production had been wetter than normal over the last 14 days, the last 30 days, or the last 60 or 90 days. And that's basically telling you that it's unusually dry. Normally, those numbers would be closer to 20 to 25% in a typical year. And in a good year, might be closer to 40 or 50%. So we're talking about only 1% to 2% of the crop having been wetter than normal in recent weeks and months. And that just highlights how dry it's been. Now, it has rained a little bit since 2 days ago when this data was made by proprietary models that we've developed. And what we've seen is that basically about 20 to 30% of the crops saw a decent rain over the last 24 hours, and that was primarily in Paraná and Rio Grande do Sul, and it also extended into parts of Paraguay, which are just to the immediate west. So the situation is a little bit better than it was a couple of days ago, but one decent rain in the middle of the situation that we're in is not going to be enough to wipe out a drought, and we're going to need to see a lot more rain than that in order to start thinking that things are okay. Now, the pattern is going to be stormier than it has been over the next 10 to 14 days. The storm system that developed the rainfall over the last 24 hours is related to a cool front, and that front is moving northward as we speak. That'll help to ignite additional thunderstorms over the next couple of days. And then we'll see more fronts move through next week and maybe even into the following week. So over the next 10 to 14 days, we're going to see near normal rainfall across a big chunk of the soybean belt. The question then becomes, is that enough rain to stabilize everything and still have a good crop? That's a question that's going to be difficult to answer for a while. We are moving into the sensitive periods of development now. We know the first third of the growing season has been unusually dry. We know that we're getting some rain now, and we will continue to get some, but whether or not that makes everything okay remains to be seen, and that's pretty much what everybody's thinking about if they're buying or selling soybeans.
Are you suggesting that the next 2 weeks, which return to normal, are the beginning of a wetter pattern or a more normal pattern longer term through the next month or two?
Well, that's a great question, and it's very difficult to answer. The one thing you need to keep in mind about Brazil is that they normally get a lot of rain at this time of the year. Normal rainfall over the next 2 weeks ranges from about 3 to 5 inches across the soybean belt. as we move into the last half of December and into the first half of January, those numbers go up even a little bit more. It wouldn't be unusual to see 3.5 to 6 inches of rain over those two-week periods in the end of December and then again in the beginning of January. So we're basically moving back into a more typical pattern for this time of the year. But are we moving into an unusually wet period? It doesn't look like it. The weather map that we're looking at now basically tells us this is what typically would happen in December. And whether or not that lasts beyond the 15th or 20th of the month, that's a challenging question to answer. The only thing we know for sure is that it pretty much has to continue. Because if you move back into a dry spell like we've been in for most of the last 3 months, then that easily means that the rain that we're going to see over the next 2 weeks was not enough, and we just needed to keep on raining.
You talked about rainfall that has happened in Rio Grande do Sul, which I believe is in the southern growing regions. If you go further to the south through Uruguay, Paraguay, and in Argentina, things had been very dry there. Are conditions changing?
Well, they've improved a little bit in Argentina. The coverage of dryness in Argentina is also really high. It's including about 85% of soybean production over the last 30 days, and that's a proportion of the crop that had less than 3/4 of its normal rainfall over that period. So that is a concern. But if you dig in a little bit deeper and you start to look at how much of the soybean crop was really dry, with less than half of its normal rainfall, or even less than 1/4 of its normal rainfall, well, those numbers start to diminish pretty rapidly. And we're only looking at about 20% of the crop having received less than half of its normal. And that compares to about 70% in Brazil over the same 30-day period, just to give you an idea of the difference. So yes, it is dry in Argentina, but it's not as dry from an intensity standpoint. And that basically is telling us that Argentina can still get out of this situation relatively easily, not only because they're not as dry as it has been in Brazil, but also because they also plant later. We're still in planting season. The key periods of development are still 4 to 8, maybe even 10 weeks away in Argentina. So there's a lot of time for things to change. Now, that being said, it still is a little bit dry. There's not much rain, if any rain, on the horizon for the next week or so. And after that, there's only spotty thunderstorms here and there that we think are going to form, pretty much because humidities are staying pretty low across Argentina as a La Nina type weather pattern continues. So we do have concerns there, but they're less intense than what we have in Brazil at the moment.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great being here, Todd. And check out tstorm.net if you'd like a free trial. This is a good time to sign up for one.
Oh, yeah, you can find that at tstorm.net. Mike Tenura, of course, is at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, joined us on this Thursday afternoon. We're also joined by agmarket.net's Matt Bennett. He is in Windsor, Illinois. You can look him up at agmarket.net easily enough. Hey, thanks for being with us, Matt. I appreciate it. Looks like we've got a pretty good day running in Chicago today.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, yesterday, obviously, when we came in the morning, it was looking pretty rough. You know, you had beans down 16, 18 cents, corn down a nickel. And then, you know, the corn market caught a bid, was able to close a little bit higher. Wheat had lent some support there on Wednesday. Beans were not able to close higher, but they closed, you know, in the middle of the range. And so you come in here today, and the bean markets just continued to see buying throughout the day. Basically trading about a penny off the highs right now, up 16. You know, in the corn market, whenever we talk here, trading up 3 cents. So, yeah, we're still off the highs just a little bit on corn, maybe around 14 cents, and on beans around 25 to 30 cents. But regardless, it feels a lot better than what it did just, maybe 30 hours ago.
So here at the midday, what's driving the bean market higher?
That's a really good question because, you know, exports were horrible here this week. I mean, corn exports were actually pretty darn good. And so, you know, we come in here and you see exports for beans, though, marketing year low. And so that's pretty tough to get excited about, you know, whereas with corn, we had excellent export sales. And so we didn't have anything on the morning wire once again. Beans continue to look for that kind of, actually get a sale on the record, if you will. For far too long, it seemed like maybe we were just a little bit too spoiled, if you will. But Bottom line for me here moving forward is that South America continues to see rains, maybe just a little bit underperforming versus what the forecasts were showing. The forecast still has some rain in it, but are you going to end up getting to a point where they get that soaking rain, and you take all the talk away of less than ideal conditions? And I don't know that we're going to get there at the present time. I mean, most of the forecasts I'm looking at still have rain in it, but nothing overwhelming. So I think that's part of the reason this bean market just continues to be able to kind of bounce off the mat.
Well, it sounds like a little opposite of what we normally think of. So in this case, sell the rumor, which would be rainfall by the fact, not as much actually landed as maybe many had expected. But the futures markets do exactly that. They look forward into the future, and more rainfall is in the offing. When you put the fundamentals of production together with demand, is there anything you see changing very much going forward? And of course, USDA will have its monthly report next week as well.
Yeah, I don't really look for the USDA report to say much, considering it's in December. Typically, we don't get any changes of magnitude, if you will. But, how do I see this moving forward? I think towards the end of the year here, the expectation of profit taking was something that I think a lot of us had. We experienced some of that this week, but then we come right back. The market certainly seems resilient. And so I think that the producer is going to have the temptation to want to continue to be, bullish. But at the same time, I think we need to be managing risk as this market continues to give us opportunities that we really weren't expecting to get just, a couple, 3 months ago.
So I have a different question for you, and probably one you have to answer all the time. I sold beans too quickly. My average is way lower than what we have at this point. Anything that I ought to do at this time? Is it possible to gain something back out of the marketplace, or do I just wait?
I've been asked that almost on a daily basis for quite some time. And, first of all, quit beating yourself up, because most producers in our part of the world, especially, that sold beans too early, still made money on those beans. Did they make as much as what they would have preferred? Yeah, I understand. No, there are some things you can do if you think that the market's going to continue to go higher. We've been putting some option spreads on that are only, risking maybe 15 to 20 cents. They're pretty interesting in how we put them together, but there's certainly a limited amount of risk if the market doesn't go the way you want it to go. So, if I was going to be getting into a re-ownership strategy, the main thing that I would impress upon people is to not leave your neck out on the chopping block, because this market can certainly turn and turn quickly. Do I think $12 is going to hold it? I think there's a decent chance we go ahead and go on up above the $12 and make another run. But at the same time, I'm sure not going to be risking a whole lot of money to see that.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.